Through the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and God. Amen. The divine liturgy come on every week, everybody practice, taking communion. We have the reference book, which is Hulagi. What we'll do is we'll divide it to two sessions. The first one, it's introduction about this is what we'll do today. And next time, which is the coming Saturday, we will go to the order and the parts of the divine liturgy. You will find what we're talking about is something you're familiar with. You went through it, you practiced it, you do it every Sunday at least. For that, we will go outside the shell now, and we'll go deeper next time. For that, if we start with the first slide, we'll find something very interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ, when all the words in the Bible, every movement he did, it has a base, and it doesn't just like to fill the blanks. For that, the first miracle the Lord Jesus Christ performed, or the first documented liturgy, the first documented miracle in front of his disciple, what is the first?
The wedding at Cana.
Yes. For that, what he did is he turned the water to wine, but he said, "My hour has not come." For that, that has a meaning. For that, if we go to the next part, we find that the last miracle the Lord Jesus Christ performed in front of his disciples was he turned the wine to his blood and he said, "My hour has come." For that, if we are there in that wedding and we find the Lord Jesus Christ is turning the water to wine, we can ask ourselves, why is that happening? Just to make these people pleased and happy? No. It has, like something planned before to turn the water to wine. And as St. John says in 2:4, "My hour has not come." He said that to St. Mary. And after that, 3 years and more fast. And the last miracle he did perform, usually I say the documented miracle in front of his disciple, and the Last Supper, which is turning the wine to his blood, and now he said, "My hour has come." This is just to introduce us to the Eucharist mystery. Who started that? We have how many mysteries we have in our church?
Seven.
One of them is when we take communion. Who established all this mystery? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about establishing the liturgy, the communion, the Eucharist, which is, what is the meaning of Eucharist?
The body and blood of Christ.
Yeah, but the word Eucharist is thanksgiving, a shukr. For that, this is the first liturgy. Let's come and join the Lord Jesus Christ in the first liturgy. Who can read for us, please? Yes, Andrew.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Okay. You see here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sent two of his disciples. They prepare the table. They prepare the place where is the first communion will happen. And we can find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He took bread. He broke. He thanked. He didn't tell them, "Take, eat the bread." It became my body. For that it turned from the bread to his body by the breaking and thanking. And this is what the liturgy is. For that, we have here the cup. At the same manner, he thanked and he started the liturgy. According to tradition, after that, after the resurrection and after all these things happen, and they start to, the disciples start in their mission, the Lord appeared to St. James and he taught him the divine liturgy parts. It was so simple. As Abuna Dawood Lam'i usually said, that the first liturgies was so simple and maybe take few, I'm not sure how many minutes or so, But it's just breaking and thanking the Lord, breaking the bread. For that every year it passed, we will find that even our liturgy, what you call the Coptic liturgy, it took 300 years until it starts to be established to the way very close to what we have here. For that who established the first that mystery is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can find that in 1 Corinthians and St. Matthew Gospel. Could you get to the second one? Okay, now, how many liturgies is popular in our church?
Yes. Basil, Gregorian, and Cyril.
Yeah. This is all the liturgies as a part of it? No. There is a lot of liturgies. Even St. Basil himself, he wrote about three liturgies. St. Gregory, he wrote different liturgies and other things in the same time. St. Cyril, he took that liturgy, as you will see now, from St. Mark and St. Athanasius until it reached St. Cyril, and he formed it to be the Coptic liturgy. Even if we go away from Cairo, from Egypt, and we go to the Ethiopian liturgy, we find that they have 12 liturgies. For that, let's introduce you to the three major saints, which they form the three popular liturgies in our Coptic Church. St. Cyril and St. Gregory, they are so close friends. They lived in the same place, which is Cappadocia, which is Asia Minor, which is Turkey right now. They're almost, you know, same, almost the same age, about, they born about the year 379, and they lived in the same place. They became so close friends, and they studied together. They went to other places, maybe Athens and so, to get more educated, and they start to get involved more and more in the divine liturgy to start to worship the Lord. You know, we know that the Lord starts, are you with me? Okay. The Lord starts the mystery, but the mystery now needs to be performed the way the people that can feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is present with them and the Holy Spirit will attend. You know, if even if we go to the icons and the icon of St. John the Baptist, we can find it happened as if it's a liturgy. What happened here, he has the Lamb in front of him, and which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit descended in front of the Father. This is my blood son. This is a liturgy. Lamb and the Holy Spirit descended in the front of the Lord, of the Father, and the three of them, the three Trinity, in the same place, which is a liturgy. St. Cyril became the head of the bishops of Cappadocia, and even the Father, St. Gregory Father, he recommended him to be that bishop. And St. Gregory, there is how many Gregories? St. Gregories?
Three.
Can you name them?
The Armenian, the wonder worker.
The theologian, which is St. Gregory of Nazianzus, which is the small village where he born in. And actually what we have right now, when we are waiting for selecting our Pope, and you can hear a lot about, oh, it has to be not a bishop, you know, he has, you know, like, because the bishop is married to the area where he is nominated for. That happened to St. Gregory himself. St. Gregory, when he starts to be known to all the priests and so forth, that they nominate him to be a bishop for a small village, which he born in this village. So that he became the bishop of Nazianzus. And now, the third communal council happened in Constantinople, and this, the emperor there, he said, okay, you know, like, let's nominate that wonderful saint to be the bishop of this place. And now, who protests that? The patriarch of Egypt, actually. They said, no, if you nominate him to be, you know, married to this small village, he has to marry to this village all the time, for that he cannot move again to be a bishop for Constantinople, for that to be in front of the patriarch of Egypt. They protest that. That's why we say now, if any bishop, and he is bishop for any of Mashiach, he cannot be turned again to be a patriarch, because the patriarch is the head of the bishops. San Cyril is the Pope number 24. St. Mark starts that liturgy of San Cyril. What happened in the year 68 and 29 of Ramada, San Mark was the last night before he gets martyred. He was actually performing the liturgy in Alexandria. And what happened there is he is performing the liturgy, and they attack him, and they grab him, drag him all over Alexandria until the second day they separate his head. So that liturgy, which is called the Coptic liturgy, it was oral. It never been written for almost 300 years. And every generation, they just passed it from generation to generation until the Pope number 20, which is Saint Athanasius, he took the liturgy and exactly like everybody know it, all the priests, and he wrote the liturgy in a papyrus, and it's kept right now in one of the places in Europe. A few years after, which is the Pope number 24, Saint Cyril, the great, or the pillar of faith, he took that liturgy and he started to add letteries, which we will know the word letteries, which is prayer, or tilba, or intercessory prayer. He added a lot of this letteries to it, and he arranged it to the way we know it right now, which is San Cyril liturgy. And it became known that the Coptic liturgy.
So San Cyril is the one who arranged it.
He took this liturgy actually came from St. Mark. Until 300 years, it was just oral, never been written. Until St. Athanasius wrote it exactly as St. Mark put it, and everybody remembered. He was the patriarch number 20. St. Cyril, the patriarch number 24. He took the Coptic liturgy and he added prayers, had orders, and the prayers and the liturgy, it's called litanies, awashi.
Yeah.
So that we will know these words when we come to it. So that he added around 17 of them. And some of these litanies, actually we pray them in Rafa'at Qur and raising of the incense, which is the litany for the repose, the travelers, the sick. We use them from San Cyril liturgy. We can go to another slide, please. Here, the three popular, what is the difference between the three popular liturgies? We find that even from, let's take from the one, the deacon says, worship God in fear and trembling, then this liturgy is this prayer toward the Lord the Father. But when he comes to St. Gregory liturgy, he said, worship the Lamb, the Logos of God. Then who is this liturgy toward who? Which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You know, even the story in the liturgy, he'd been taken to the slaughter as a lamb, for that it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in St. Cyril, we find back again, it's toward the Father. That's why usually you see the priests and all the feasts, because the feast is toward the Lord Jesus Christ, for that they prefer to pray the liturgy of St. Gregory, because it's toward the Son. And the liturgy of St. Cyril, because it's long and it's deep and has all the prayers, they prefer to pray it in even Kiak or before the ascent. I just forget, but just it's pray, long prayer, for that it has to be in a time when they have maybe in the monasteries and so, or sometimes they take part of St. Cyril liturgy and mix it with the other liturgies. But the popular and smaller one, we'll see why it's smaller. It's San Basil, which is the majority of the year, the days of the year, it's San Basil liturgy. Is it clear at this point right now? Like, if I asked you, the liturgy of San Cyril, it's prayed towards who? Of the pre-essence? God the Father. And what about the liturgy of Saint Gregory? God the Son. And for that, Saint Basil and Saint Cyril is to God the Father, and Saint Gregory to God the Son, which is Saint, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we clear here?
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a few words, and we should be familiar with these words. We see now the liturgy. What? Okay, before even we get to that, 300 years B.C., the Alexander the Great and the Greek, they went everywhere for that. The language became the Greek language all over. Even when the Roman came and they occupied everything else, but the Latin and the Greek words became the popular words. For that, if we see how when we pray the liturgy, the diacon usually the response in Greek, and the priest the response in Coptic. For that, we see that the priests pray in Coptic. And the response from the diacon in Greek. For that, most of the words in Greek language. For that, the word liturgy, maybe you take a note now, it comes from the Greek word liturgia, which is public service. For that, this service is for the public. Cannot be, that you cannot find a liturgy without the three major elements in it, which is a priest, and diacon, and people. The priest cannot by himself go and say, you know what, I will start the liturgy. Where is the diacon? Oh, I found one. And where is the people? There must be people. There must be at least one attendant, and must be at least one diacon and priest. For that, the three of them, because it's public service, it's not private prayer. For that, has to be to the public. Priest, diacon, and a person at least to perform the liturgy. Are you okay about this word? Okay, let's go to another word. We hear the word tax. It comes from, again, Greek word, which is taxis. It's not a taxis, which is you pay when you buy a piece of chocolate, but it's a Greek word, which means system. The system of everything. System of the shape of the church. System of the garments with the utensils. System of the prayer itself. System of everything we move in. We start the liturgy with raising the incense. And the other parts is so for that. The word tax, which we hear a lot, which is the rites, R-I-T-E-S, is system. The system of the Holy Spirit movement, performance, and all these things, because St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things done decently and in order. Even you will find that when we would go, because we going around the liturgy, even when the priest going even to start entering the sanctuary, which leg he starts with to enter? The right. And from the right side. He cannot enter the sanctuary from the left side. He has to enter from here and kneel, and he has to go anti-clockwise, counter around the altar, and when he leaves the altar, he has to go and his back to the people, and he has to start with his left leg and exit. Everything in order. You cannot find, even if the Pope is present and the priest is coming to worship the Lord and to join them, he go first to the altar. He take the blessing from the God the Father first, and after that he go to take the blessing of the bishops and so. Everything in order. The shape of the church. We cannot find a shape of the church like, oh, it's a holy dove or so. No. There is certain shapes. There is a system. The church has to be even a shape of a cross. And the cross could be Latin cross, which is one part is longer, or Greek cross, which is the four parts is equal, or round, like the sun, like the Albana, or Noah's Ark. I have a question for you. Which shape what we have here in this chair?
Ark.
Yes. If you go back again and see, you find that like the Ark of Noah. So that this is one of the sheets. Could be like a cross. And you have to enter from where? East or west? When you enter the church, you enter from which side and
west.
You proceed to another side? From the west and you proceed to the east. And this is opposite to the tabernacle. The tabernacle, they used to enter from the east, which that gate, this curtain, it was representing the Lord Jesus Christ, which you enter from. And they were entering, proceeding to the west. But now we proceed from the west, and we enter from the west and proceed to the east. All the altars has to be the east, because he is the son of righteousness. Let's go to another word. Litanies. Which the litanies is the prayers. And we said it's intercessor prayers. We intercede to the Lord, to the saints, for this all these prayers. And again we said the major ones is taken from San Siro liturgy. And now we find these major ones, we pray them and raising the incense. And it has to be an order as well. We have like the litany of the repose. How many of you was in the vesper right now? Which litany you think was prayed?
The litany of the repose.
Why? Okay. The church arranged the litany of the repose because it represents the sunset. It reminds everybody that the end, the life of everybody has to come to an end. For that, the litany of the repose has to be prayed in the vespers. And another day, which is Saturday morning, because we remember that the Lord was in the tomb on Saturday morning. For that, the litany of the repose is prayed in vesper, in raising the incense in night time, and in the matin, which is morning time, and Saturday. Because we remember that the Lord was in the tomb on Saturday. The litany of the sick and the travelers. It's usually in the morning, because Saint John Chrysostom said the church is like a hospital. If you are sick, even bodily or spiritually, you go to pray to the Lord. For that, the matin, which is the morning, raising of the incense in the morning, the matin. These two liturgies, two litanies, is prayed, the sick and the travelers. Why the travelers? Because the people used to go take the blessing before they travel or go to their work. But what about if there is a feast or Sunday? There is an exception here. There is no, these two liturgies is not prayed on Sundays because you're supposed not to go anywhere. You're supposed to stay to attend the liturgy. And in the feast, for that the litany of the repose every night and Saturday morning, the litany of the sick and the travelers every morning except Sunday and feast. Is that clear? Yes.
What about Sunday and the feast?
If Sunday?
Yeah. And the feast.
Okay. The Sunday it has the liturgy and another litany which is litany of offering. And there is another note here. All these litanies can be prayed outside the sanctuary, but when the priest prays the litany of the offering, he steps inside the sanctuary. But we take now here an example of the litanies and the exceptions and when it's prayed. Is it clear about these three litanies? Okay, we can move to another. There is long litanies and there is short litanies. The short one, you see, remember O Lord, the peace of, and everybody said, Kyrie eleison, or Lord have mercy. Remember O Lord, our hope. Remember our Lord, the Hebrew Mimon says this is like short letters. There is long letters and short letters. And the short letters vary. And the letters itself, like San Basil, we find just seven letters. And in San Gregory, slightly more, which is 10 letters. In San Cyril liturgy, we have about 17 of them. For that, it's long divine liturgy because of the letters is more. For that, there's long letters and there's short letters, which is, remember, O Lord, the peace of your only one, holy person. And remember, O Lord, the weather and the plants and the air. You know, it's short, like short messages. And this is, we call it short letters and long letters. As you see, we touch base on what happened here. I was thinking, do I introduce this slide or not introduce it? But this is happening within the incense. What happened is the priests go and make a cross of incense. And the cross of incense should go to the four directions. He starts with, of course, in front of the east, in front of the Lord, in front of the altar. And he go north. What do we find north? We find St. Mary icon. And he prays St. Mary, and he go to the west, and he find the angels and all the people. And he prays them, and when he go to the south, he will find the icon of St. John. For that, it's like he, as if he making a cross, which is a more, يعني برضو بالعربي صليب بخور. For that, the cross of incense is he go to the four directions, and we'll go to more details when we get to the core of the liturgy. But just to introduce you that there's some movement. Again, it's thoughts, it's rites and rituals. Let's get to another slide, please. There is another word. Who can pronounce these words correctly? Anamnesis. It's again, if you go to the dictionary, you will find this word meaning as well. What happened is, sometimes in the liturgy, even the whole liturgy, is a communication between the priest, which he represented the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people. For that, you see here, sometimes the priest said, every time you eat from this bread and drink from this cup, you have to do three things. What? Okay, preach my death, confess my resurrection, and remember me till I come. And we answer him, I do, and we tell him, yeah, what you said the first one? Oh, preach my death, yes, we preach your death. And what you said the second one? Confess my resurrection. We tell him, yes, your holy resurrection, and we remember you till you come. And this is like communication, this is like an oath. Now you're coming to take the communion. You have to do the three things. You have to preach my death, confess my resurrection, remember me till I come, and we answer the Lord Jesus Christ represented in the priest that Amen, we preach your death, your holy resurrection, and we thank the Trinity. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ who said, we praise you, the Father. And we bless you, the Son. We thank you, the Holy Spirit. For that, it's just we do it as a routine, but it has a meaning. It has a communication. You take an oath that you will start, you will proceed, and you will go along to be taking communion. For that, you take that oath, which is called anamnesis, which is, if you go to the dictionary, you'll find it's a Greek word, means the communication. Are we clear about that? I have some copies, you know, to all these slides, so that if you need these words, can be in this. So that if you finish, we can go to proceed another slide. Again, we have to be absent from food for 9 hours, as you know. So that Abuna usually said, even if we have a liturgy in the PM, we have not to eat for certain hours. Why the minimum is 9 hours? we have to, as a servant, we have to know exactly why we ask him for food from my house. So that this is ours, actually, which is the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. It starts from the trial itself. The trial happened in the third hour. The third hour is 9 a.m., beginning of the trial. And the sixth hour, which is the crucifixion, which is equal to 12 p.m. And at 9 hour, the Lord gave us the Spirit, died on the cross. And this happened in the 9 hours, which is 3 p.m. And in the 11th hour, which is the Vesper, 5 p.m., they taking the Holy Body from the cross. And the 12th hour, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that if we count from 9 to 6, which is 18, it's 9 hours. From the 3rd hour to the 12th hour. So that we have to be absent from food and drinking is the whole 9 hours, because this is the hours where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in. So that this is the minimum of not taking any food or drink. Is it clear? We can. Is it everybody clear? I see somebody is still writing. Okay. You want to come back to? All right. Now we talk about introduction to the divine liturgy. And the divine liturgy is different parts. We can even say that the part is the introduction, which is reading the incense, and another two parts, which is the liturgy to the catechumens, which is the people. Here it's servants prep. They are faithful prep, so that they are prepared to be here, prepared to be servants, and they're prepared to be taking communion, joining the faithful people and the baptized. So that the first part is, this is the part of the divine liturgy, which is raising the incense. We have Vesper and Matin. There is two parts to introduction to the liturgy, which is preparatory, offertory, the liturgy of the words, the liturgy of the faithful, and this is the part of the divine liturgy, which when next week, we will talk about these parts together. Okay, let's go in. Raising the incense. Why raising the incense? What happened is we can see that when the Lord Jesus Christ, before even when he talked to Moses and the mountain, he said, this is the tabernacle, and this is how it changed. But this slide will come back again.
Okay.
And he told them that there's a part that when we are here, the holy place and the holy of holies. And there was a veil. Now we don't have a veil because that veil is torn. And in front of the veil there was, in that place here, there was the incense altar. To the left there was a menorah, which is 7 branches. And to the right there was a table and has a showbread, 12 korbana, which represent the 12 tribes. Who is permitted to the first part here, which is the holy place, is just the priests. This is the only one permitted to get to inside here. They usually come 2 times a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. That's why we have the raising the incense of Matin in the morning and raising the incense and Vesper. At that time, he offered the incense to the Holy of Holies, which he cannot enter because there is a veil here. But now that veil is torn and we can see the altar because the reconciliation happened. For that here, raising the incense is introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ when we introduce us to him to start the divine liturgy. And there's a lot of things, and the Bible telling us that even in Revelation, we see an angel. He went in front of the altar, and he gave a lot of incense, and this incense is the prayers of the saints. And we see how the saints, I don't want to go proceed, but this is just to give you a feeling that this is very important to the Lord, to start with raising the incense, and we do that in Vesper and in Matin. In Vesper could be a prayer by itself. We can, you know, like, Aduna, let's pray a Vesper. Oh, but there is no liturgy in the morning. Doesn't matter. So that can be just prayer for blessing. But in the morning, there is no liturgy. It has to be mandatory to have the introduction, which is the Matin, raising of the incense, before the liturgy in the morning. So that the Vesper could be just for blessing, but it's essentially for the liturgy in the morning to have raising the incense of Rafa the Qurban. Let's get to see another use of the incense itself. The greeting between the priests. And there is another something very interesting. If you see a priest meeting another priest, he gives him the incense one time and he touch his hand one time. If a priest approaching the hegumen, it has to be two times, because St. Paul said they have double honor. So that he gives them the incense two times, and he touched their hand two times. And what about the bishop of the patriarch? Three times, because they represent the Trinity. So that he gives him the incense three times, and he takes the blessing from him three times. So that everything, again, in order. It's like a system. It's a touch. For that, this is how we can use how they use the incense. And we can get to another part. We touched this about the liturgy from outside. Okay, now we are in the morning, we finish the raising of the incense of the morning, the Matin, and they have to prepare themselves to start the liturgy. And this is the preparatory part. It starts with the priest, he blesses the tonyas, bless whatever they it has to be white to represent, because everything here now, it's the priest introduced you to heaven. For that, if you haven't, they are in the Revelation, they said they're wearing white garments. For that, the tonya has to be white, and after that, the priests go and prepare the altar. As the Lord Jesus Christ told his two disciples at the Last Supper, he told them, go and prepare for us. It was, where is the Last Supper performed? In which house? St. Mark's house, which is Our Lady Sahihun. For that, the Lord told them it's very important to prepare the place where he will be present, which is that every time we take in communion the Lord, present, and the cherubim and seraphim and all the angelic hosts, all of them appear there. For that, first of all, the priest blessed the garments, the tonia, and after that, the hourly prayer from the igbay. And this depends on how much, how long the liturgy will occupy. If that will be covering the first, third, and sixth hour, maybe because we finish around 12 o'clock, for that we read them first, because we don't have any allowance to read the prayers after. But what about in Fisyan, when we, maybe it's evening type of liturgy. Oh, if it exceeds the ninth hour, we have to pray the ninth hour first. What about if we will have a liturgy, you know, maybe it's 5 o'clock. Oh, we have to read, we have to pray the Vesper as well, for that we have to pray whatever in the Book of Hours, wherever we will miss, according to when, what is the time of the liturgy we're praying. And after that, he washed his hand three times, and while he is reciting with songs, and he dry his hand. Yes?
When you mean to wash his hand three times, do you mean at the, in that one time, or throughout the whole liturgy?
No, as you know, that it happened two times.
Three,
yeah. The first time, when he washed his hands, he recited some of the songs. And the second time, he has to do what before he dry his hands?
To bless him.
Yeah, and we will go through one of the parts here to see why he do that. Before he dry his hands, he sprinkled the water first, and after that he come back to wash his, to dry his hands. As we went to the preparatory, there is another part which is the offertory, preparing the material which is the liturgy took place with. What we have here is we select the lamb, the priest select the lamb and the two deacons, and baptize the lamb, and the burial of the lamb, and it ends with servant absolution. Okay. This is the part of the offertory. How are we done with the time? 10 minutes. Okay. All right. The most essential part in selecting the lamb is Jacob's blessing. When Jacob, Joseph represents his two sons, and he was representing the older son on the right hand, feeling like Jacob will go with his right hand to the older one, and Jacob did something very interesting. He did cross his hands, and even when Joseph was feeling like this is not correct, my father, he said, no, I'm not my son. And he crossed his hand for that this is the way that the priest select the lamb, and we will go more deeper why he called the lamb. Because here, when St. John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw it as a lamb, because it were, the lamb would be brought to the slaughter on the cross. For that this is the way usually the priest select the lamb, and usually it's even three, five or seven lambs for that he, when he take the Lamb of Glory, select the Lord Jesus Christ, it became two by two by two, which the Lord sent them two by two, but other meaning to that. Okay, the offertory, it goes to according to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he select, he examine the wine, and after that, he take the sacrifice of glory, and what he will do after that, he will baptize it. He will take some water, and we will go to the details about why the shape of the lamb, why the shape of the Oban will be like that, what is that part in the middle, what is the 12 around, what's the written around it, and why it's round. We will go in details after, but this is here how he bless, select, baptize, and after that it will go on a journey to the cross, to the sacrifice, and to the barrier. It's exactly the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry if we go fast here, because we will have to slow down when we take the liturgy. We said it has to be baptized. The Lord Jesus Christ, he went, and when he was selected as the man, he went baptized first, and after that he took the road to the Golgotha, to the crucifixion. And we see here Abun Abraham, when in one of the feasts, he baptizing the lamb. And after that, he wrapped the lamb. As Saint Mary wrapped the lamb. And he would go after that in the journey to the cross. When he went to the journey in the cross, to the cross, he took the cross on his shoulders. For that, if you are accurate, seeing exactly what the priest did, he put the cross in an angle. He wrapped the lamb after he baptized it, and he put the cross in an angle. And that's not because Abuna is like just, you know, it's to be cool like that, you know. But that, no, it has a meaning. It says every movement has a meaning, because the Lord Jesus Christ was carrying the cross on his shoulder, and he went to the Golgotha. Again, everything against the time. We go counterclockwise. We go against the time. We don't go here. Like, everything is just, there's no time limit for that. We go everything around the altar in counterclockwise, because it happened now, tomorrow, and forever until his second coming. And we put the cross at an angle going to the crucifixion. What happened after the crucifixion? There was the burial. The get the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross, and they put him in the tomb. And after that, they closed the tomb with a big stone, and they put the seal on top. Remember this thing? Okay. They put the Lord Jesus Christ in a tomb, which it was for a rich man. Nobody was entered that tomb before. And when they put the Lord, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it remained just 3 days. No worry, more. Because I see you here, like feeling like, no, just 3 days. And after that, they put the whole big stone. And after that, they were afraid that anybody can stole the body, and they put the seal on top. Oh, okay, let's get to. And after that, the servant's execution. We will go just to the few slides, we will repeat them again. There is two major parts after that. Yeah, okay. We can stop here and we can continue the next time. I'm not sure if the next time can take.